Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Nothing like late nights in South Beach. Welcome to TC Live from the Miami Open, where we wrap up all the action from Hard Rock Stadium and get you ready for tomorrow's big matches. A lot to discuss over the next half hour. It's A-OK. Kei Nishikori back for the first time this year. We'll hear from the former Miami finalist. Was his game on or off nerve? Plus, with her new team intact, Maria Sakkari is attacking the second half of the Sunshine Double, looking to go one step further in Miami. And find out why Coco Gauff is guaranteed to be playing in Paris a couple times this spring and summer. We're going for gold on TC Live. Come on into our studios. Great to have you here with us. What a night it was in Miami. Steve Weissman, the gold medalist, Monica Puig. And we've got the Hall of Famer, Andy Roddick, as well. What a battle between Peyton Stearns, Victoria Azarenka. You may have noticed Red Foo, the rapper, singer, LMFAO, was in Peyton Stearns' box. Also, the ex-boyfriend of one Victoria Azarenka. Knowing Vika, what kind of motivation do you think that was for her?
You just saw it all over her face. She meant business. It was very awkward, to say the least. But, you know, once Vika is, like, game face, I don't think it really bothered her too much. But at the end, I bet she's pumping her fist like, uh-huh, I got it.
Heard that groan, Andy.
Yeah, I like what you did with the on-or-off-ner there in the open, Steve. Don't think that goes unnoticed. Salute. But, like, I thought it was a great match. It's typical Azarenka. She keeps her heads down, just goes about her business. We'll find a way to maybe put a chip on the shoulder. Red Foo aside, you know, he's not the one playing the match. I thought it was a great. I hope Peyton Stearns is able to keep her head up. Tough losses last week, tough loss this week. I like her game. I like the way she competes. Lots of good stuff ahead. I hope she gets over it quickly.
In the Prakash dog meter, 5 out of 5, Peyton Stearns. A lot of dog in the heart of Peyton Stearns, that's for sure. But it was Azarenka, party rocking in the end. We start, though, with the return of one Kei Nishikori, Japanese superstar making his return to the tour for the first time since Atlanta last year. He got to the quarterfinals of that event, lost to Taylor Fritz, had knee pain that forced him to miss the U.S. Open, hip joint surgery back in 2022. This actually Nishikori's first Masters event since 2021, Andy, looking for his first top 50 win since that same year, taking on Sebastian Offner.
And Offner have lost 3 in a row coming into this one, Steve. So if you're Nishikori, you maybe like the draw, but Offner came out. He was aggressive from the word go. I felt like Nishikori just got bullied a little bit. It's tough to get your bearings. If you're coming back from a long lift, you want to be able to hit balls. You want to be able to actually get set, maybe have some cross-court rallies, get a little rhythm. Kei was not provided that opportunity today, and that's just ridiculous. Offner knows it. He says, look what I did. That was awesome. But Kei, I thought he hit the ball pretty well. It's just these things when you haven't played a while, that feel is always going to be there. Kind of did the hesitation and the poke up the line a la Roger Federer. I saw that too many times, Steve, but Offner just had too much heat from the ground. The depth wasn't letting Kei get set, wasn't letting him turn in to the ball striker that he wants to be, and just looked pretty good start to finish. So I thought Kei can take a lot of positives out of this match, but Offner is just tour level right now. Kei is working his way back to that.
31 winners for Offner, won 30 of his 37 first serve points. Spoils the comeback of Kei Nishikori, who caught up with Prakash after.
How did you assess how you felt on the court and your tennis?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't my best still, but I have to be happy, you know, playing again on the court and playing with these tough opponents. And I think he was playing good tennis today. He was hitting a lot of flat strokes, and I was, you know, having a tough time feeling the rhythm. But happy enough, you know, how I play.
So not his best, according to Kei. How did his game look to you, Monica?
mean, it's going to take him a little bit of time to come back, especially with a player that's coming back from injuries. Tennis changes, tennis evolves, and when he went away, he took quite a long time to get his body right and where it needs to be. So it's going to take him some time to get where he needs to be. Physically, I thought he looked good. He looked quick around the court. He's doing what he needs to do, but again, since tennis is changing, it's going to take him a couple more tournaments to get back into the swing of things. But for an injured player, when you're coming back, every moment on court is super important for you just to get that court time, that experience back on, out on a big, you know, match scene like the Miami Open was. And, you know, it's a matter of time.
Andy, biggest positives you take away for Nishikori?
Yeah, just that he's back out there. You know, listen, you can't fake match experience in practice. You just can't do it. So he's going to need to get a healthy bill, you know, as far as injuries for 3, 4, 5 tournaments in a row, kind of get that cadence back, get the rhythm that he was talking about. Tough matchup. You know, you're hoping you come out and Offner maybe misses a couple, lets you in a little bit, but he came out strong, and it's tough to play from behind, especially when you've been injured. What we hope for is continued health, right? Continue to get those first downs, and hopefully that happens for Kay.
He's an absolute superstar, guy that's been to a major final before, top five in the world, so good to see Kay Nishikori back on a tennis court. Moving on to Gael Monfils. He's back in the top 50. Took out a couple seeds in Indian Wells, Andy, looking to keep the good vibes going against Dusan Ljajovic.
I love what I'm seeing from Monfils right now. He's kind of, he has that bankable kind of diva. That's a ridiculous shot right there. Like, I don't even know how that
sit down
happens. Like, I feel like we see these all the time now, Steve, but I love what I've been seeing from Gael. Coming forward a little bit, serving, volleying a little bit, has that kind of bankable defense where he just kind of settles in, you know, 4 or 5 feet behind and says, can you go through me? But mixing in like kind of little random moments of outright aggression along the way as well. And I like the way he's competing, not getting too up or down, is a little bit more serious than normal, still flashes that smile. But like Monica said last night, seems like a matured Gael Monfils, not the 19-year-old version of exuberance that we're used to seeing. And I kind of like the way it looks on him. I thought he served pretty well. The rhythm was there, wasn't going too big, but was hitting a spot. Another good win for Gael. He's winning matches every week now, Steve.
He really is. 11 aces, only dropped 5 points on the first serve. Wakanda forever. Moving on. Maddie Keys playing her second tournament of the year, facing teenager Diana Schneider. Maddie came out swinging, Monty.
Swinging on the forehand side, which is what Madison Keys does best. It's really impressive when you're on the receiving end of that Madison Keys forehand. She just hits with such ease and such power. And she really looked like she was oozing confidence out on the court today. She was hitting her spots. She was taking the ball early, as she likes to do, and closing it out onto the net. You see just the fight that's there. Now, she was up a double break in this second set against Schneider, who's a really tricky opponent, has had some really good wins as of late. But Madison Keys just continuing to press the way that she does. And despite that little slip up there in the second set, she's able to close it out in straights. And this is exactly what we want to see from Maddie.
8 aces, went 4 of 4 on break points. That's some clutch stuff for Madison Keys to advance. Caroline Wozniacki coming off the quarterfinals in Indian Wells, looking for her 30th win in Miami, locked in a 3-hour battle against Angelina Kalinina.
When we saw this matchup, I had a feeling that it was going to go the distance. Both players are not necessarily big hitters of the ball, but can be very, very consistent and make a lot of balls in the court. It's Wozniacki who had the upper hand in this first set, but Kalinina never count her out from a fight. She started to step in more towards the end of this second set, started to take some more balls early. Both players didn't really have their best time on serve, and Kalinina saved 14 of 19 break chances in this match. And we can just see her hustling out there, making the points long, making Wozniacki work for it. Now, I saw her play in Rome many matches like this last year, going the distance, really fighting for each and every ball. And once again, just being aggressive, especially later on in the match, and able to close it out in 3 really tight sets. Again, a Wozniacki who's looking like, you know, she has some great results left in her, so it's a great win.
Saved a match point there in the second set and converts on her 4th in the third. 3 hours, 18 minutes. 4th longest match in the WTA this year. With new coach David Witt in her corner, Maria Sakkari on a roll, made the final in Indian Wells, taking on Yuan Ye, Andy, who, by the way, comes in at a career-high 37 in the rankings.
Yeah, listen, Steve, confidence is earned and not given, and Sakari earned it in Indian Wells, and today she was in the flow, working it, Steve. These are the matches where you come in, you don't feel like you're trying to find something in practice. She's gotten the hard yards, had great wins, Navarro, Coco, etc. Caroline Garcia, I think, in Indian Wells as well. She's kind of playing the nice balance between being aggressive but also not making too many errors. Even stick saves like that, getting herself into the point, getting a good look at pass and sticking it, those are all skills that are confident moments for her. I love the way she's stepping in on returns a little bit. Says she doesn't like the conditions as much as she does in Palm Springs, but you couldn't tell today. She looked great.
Yeah, 2-2 into the third round here for the first time in 3 years. Sakari on the desk with Prakash.
The players that lose earlier in Indian Wells, they have some time to get used to the conditions here. You had the least amount of time, but seemed like you adjusted pretty good.
Yeah, that was, I think, the toughest thing. You know, I flew on Monday, arrived Monday night here. I was supposed to have a Tuesday off because travel days don't count off days. And then we decided that, you know, I have to hit because the conditions are so different. So we came out here. We were planning on hitting 30 minutes. We ended up hitting almost an hour. And then, you know, obviously practiced yesterday. And it wasn't too much time off, but, you know, this is how it is. I just had to accept it. And, I cannot complain. It was pretty good today.
I feel you. Travel days do not count as off days.
But when you have fitness like Sakari, it doesn't. She can go. Forever,
yeah, no, she can do it. Like. She can do it. She's smiling. Seems like she's in a really good place right now, Monica. How much of a factor do you think that new coaching voice is?
I think it was about time for a change. We've seen Sakari kind of struggling with her confidence, and maybe David Witt isn't really telling her anything that she doesn't already know. But since it's coming from a new voice, maybe she understands it a lot better. I do see some changes, though. I see her being more aggressive. I see her being more confident and comfortable. Like Andy said, stepping in on those returns, working her way into the court. And before, when I saw Sakari play, you could just see the doubt in her face. Her face has completely changed. She looks secure in her game. She looks like she's finally enjoying herself out there. And with all the hard work that she does, I mean, it's about time that she gets the results that she had a couple of years ago when she was one of the most consistent players out there.
Yeah, seems more relaxed. Andy, what do you think about getting a new voice in your ear and kind of changing the perspective?
Yeah, and sometimes it's not a matter of, like, the coach isn't a good coach for you. It's just a stale voice at a certain moment. And frankly speaking, like, there comes a time where she doesn't know David Witt well enough to get mad at him yet, right? Everything yes, is happy totally. and happy-go-lucky. It's totally true, right? It's like living with someone versus dating, right? Like, they're still dating. They're in the honeymoon phase. And it's showing in the way she's playing tennis. And when something clicks, it kind of has this placebo effect where everything he says turns to gold. All of a sudden, we make a final. All gravy, and we're off to the races.
Yeah, totally. Honeymoon phase continues for Sakari. She's into the next round there, taking on Diana Yastremska for the first time. How about our Taylor Townsend? Told Prakash she's going to be her best friend, not her worst enemy. And her best friend, Monica, would be so proud of her performance Thursday against Elisa Mertens.
Absolutely. And this is a really tough match because Mertens has been playing really well. She's a great all-court player, really defends well out there. But Taylor Townsend is being very aggressive. She has been looking fearless out there, stepping into the court, taking the ball early, really taking time away from her opponents. And she's been putting up great numbers on serve, and she's just oozing confidence at the moment. I don't know if it's because she has her son there that she's playing so well. You know, that's just an added bonus for her. But you just see it. She's having fun. She's enjoying every single moment out on the court, and it's really showing in her tennis. And this is a Taylor Townsend that we haven't seen in a really, really long time. And she is just beating down on her competition at the moment, and it's exciting to see. Bad for us, like Prakash said, because she's not at the desk working with all of us, but it's good to see the smiles out there on court.
But we're seeing her after every win on the desk, up to 67 in the live rankings. When Prakash told her that, she knew she was exactly 7 spots from her career high. AJ in the stands gets a nice little hug. Some other scores from Miami: Elena Ostapenko, a straight set win in doubles, the defending champions in Miami. Coco Gauff, Jessie Pegula upset by the American duo of Ashlyn Kruger and Sloane Stephens. Much more to come here on TC Live. Mama said knock you out. Our FanDuel match preview breaking down the mother of all battles between Naomi Osaka and Alina Svitolina. Stay with us.
Hey, Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Monica, Andy, Steve, back with you on TC Live. Beautiful scenes from Miami. A reminder, on T2, we got you covered on a Friday. Ted Robinson, Nico Pereira with the call of Denis Shapovalov and Stefano Tsitsipas. And then Casper Ruud taking on the young Frenchman Luka Van Aanschot. For a look at Friday's forecast, here's Fox Weather.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Stephen Morgan. Here's tomorrow's Miami Open forecast. We've got storms on the way. Looks to be a pretty rainy day in Miami. Not the best of forecast. Temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
All right, thanks, Stephen. Rain in the forecast. Don't like to hear that. Our FanDuel match preview has the Mamas. Naomi Osaka taking on Alina Svitolina. Seventh meeting. 3-all head-to-head. One in Miami, actually, that Svitolina won back in 2018. Very tight on the odds here, Andy, but Osaka a slight favorite. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I think it surprises me based on odds. I like the matchup for Osaka because she's going to be able to actually get second serves that she can put a whooping on. And I like her from the middle of the court. The way she's distributing the ball, I'm really impressed. Not getting out in and out of the corners as well as she used to. But from the middle of the court, I think she's still dominating. I like the way it's trending for Osaka, but Svitolina has been such a tough out her entire career. I'm surprised that she's not favored, but I like the way Osaka's trending, definitely.
Osaka said Svitolina was her inspiration while she was pregnant to come back to that top level. How do their two games match up, Monica?
Well, I think they play in contrasting styles. I think Svitolina, while she can hit a big ball, she works her way around the court with really, really good movement. She has great anticipation out onto the court, which I think can hinder Osaka's ability to hit through the court against Svitolina. I think Svitolina also returns really well, so Osaka might not be able to rely on her serve as getting a lot of free points. But like Annie said, Osaka's playing really well from the middle of the court. She loves to dictate. She likes to keep the points short. So if Osaka can do that, I think she has the upper hand. Once Svitolina starts to retrieve more than 3, 4, 5 balls, then that's when I think things can start getting a little dicey for Osaka.
All right, shorter points for Osaka. The longer the points, maybe more favored for Alina Svitolina. Looking forward to it. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Speaking of more, we got more TC Live on the way. A three-time Miami Open champion taking on a rising American star. Don't miss the highlights from Azarenka Stearns. Puig, Roddick, Weissman back on TC Live from the Miami Open. We got to show you the match of the night, under the lights. When Victoria Azarenka won the first of her three titles in Miami, 2009, Peyton Stearns, just 7 years old, the former NCAA champ from Texas, making her main draw debut this year. Monica, this was a special matchup.
Yeah, Peyton Stearns came out playing really, really solid tennis. It was just a little bit erratic, made a couple of forced errors that really caused Azarenka to take control of that first set, but she is fiery, she is feisty, and she will not go down without a fight. She was controlling the court very well with her forehand and her backhand all in that second set. But then the third set, there were things that happened along the way while Peyton was playing well. She was really hitting her marks until this. Her arms started to act up. She started to reduce her pace on her serve, on her forehand. And Vika started to flourish and thrive, and Vika doing what she does best, and that is her fight. And that is what wins Vika so many matches, is that she does not give an inch. And when the going gets tough, Vika gets going.
Big time win for Azarenka. Heartbreak once again for Peyton Stearns. So close against Sabalenka and Indian Wells, and once again here in Miami. Hopefully that arm is not a big issue going forward. Felix Auger-Aliassime, best result at a Masters event in Miami, made the semis as a qualifier back in 2019, Andy, facing former Tennessee star Adam Walton.
Yeah, FAA went full bully ball today, Steve. When he gets a downhill head of steam, he's able to just create winners like this one out of nowhere where, you know what I call it, Steve, the mannequin maker. He was doing it all day long. I like the way he served. He looked like he was in a good rhythm. And he doesn't really back up on that return position very much. He was getting a little height there. I like that because he is a good mover, but sometimes for him it's an underutilized weapon, but he was hitting that big one. It looks like the ball just bounces so intensely up and away, but full bully ball mode, he gives you that boop grunt, Steve, and then he closes it out. 5-4, 40 love. It's over. Have a day off tomorrow, FAA.
Nice haircut as well for the Canadian. Saved all five break points, 33 winners. Nice fatal, high and tight. Hot shot of the day, by the way, coming from that match later in the show. American Brandon Nakashima, he came through qualies, Andy, taking on Alejandro Tabilo.
Yeah, and Tabilo is playing pretty good tennis. Won a bunch of matches in the South American swing. Had a rough draw last week against Taylor Fritz in the second round there. But didn't run into those kind of draw problems today. Liked the matchup early on against Brandon Nakashima. Nakashima, to his credit, you never have to worry about his intensity and his intent with every point. Was able to fight back, get through that second set, but things turned again in that third set. Tabilo just was able to find a little bit of momentum, had that little hook forehand going a la Rafa Nadal, where you kind of have to check step and guard that one high to the backhand. He played that over and over and then bled him up the line a little bit once he set the table. Really competed well. Atmosphere is great, and Tabilo is moving on. Guys winning a bunch of matches this year.
13 aces in this one for Tabilo. Saved all six break points in that final third set. Gets one himself and advances. Other players moving on. Roberto Bautista Agut in straight sets over Emilio Nava. Another American. Kovacevic goes out to Fabian Marajan. And in three sets, Daniel Evans moving on past Lorenzo Sonego. What's trending on social media? Well, Coco Gauff, congratulations. First U.S. player to qualify for the Olympics in Paris this summer. Got the golden girl on our squad. What does that mean, Monica?
I mean, it means everything. It was no surprise that Coco was going to qualify anyway. She has been having some great results already, the top American. So this is nothing new, but I mean, it means something. It's very special when you know that you qualified for the Olympics, and it's, I don't have any words because I just can't describe what the feeling is. It's just incredible.
Where's that medal?
It's in my closet.
In the closet. Come on. Andy, what did it mean to you? You played the Olympics as well.
Yeah, listen, I don't even know how this is news. This is like me telling you that gravity is keeping us on the ground, Steve. Like, I obviously Coco's going to qualify. Obviously, she's going to represent our country well. And you never know, she might get that Monica Puig gold medal. You
just
don't know,
Steve. Just
not keep
it in the closet. No.
Yeah, she might show it off a little bit more.
Wouldn't you just, like, wear that every day if you were Monica, Andy? Like, I don't know.
Should I bring it next time and then you
Please.
Can wear it?
I would. I would rock it on the show.
Yeah, I was going to win a gold medal, but then I lost second round instead.
Coco looking to become the sixth American woman to win gold at the Olympics, joining Venus, Serena, RLD, Jennifer Capriati, Helen Wills as well. This is our schedule on a Friday, if the weather permits. We start 11 a.m. Eastern, night session 7 p.m. Eastern. TC Live, by the way, it could come earlier tomorrow. We're not sure. It depends on the weather and encore coverage all night long. That hot shot of the day is coming up next. Welcome back. It is time for our hot shot of the day, Roddick. It was a good one.
Yeah, and sometimes hot shots need a little bit of assistance, like a very slow overhead, followed by another very slow overhead. And then on the run, it's like, hey, listen, I'm not going to let you hit another one. I'm just going to pass you. This is painful for all of us. But, like, and that looked even slower the second time. I guess slow motion does that, Steve. But good recovery by FA. The high pass up the line, very underrated shot.
That was not like you and Federer back in the day.
No, that Federer one, that was off an actual overhead. That one was mean. Sign of things to come, unfortunately.
That popped up on my Instagram the other day. I was like, oh man, not again.
Filthy.
Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern. Here are our featured matches. Big one between Paula Badosa and Aryna Sabalenka. Coco Gauff in action. Jannik Sinner Naomi Osaka, Iga Swiatek, Daniil Medvedev. All the stars are out in South Beach. Speaking of stars in Miami, let's send it back with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our Tennis Channel Cadillac desk. Prakash, Aryna Sabalenka has had a heartbreaking, unthinkable week, and she's going to play her best friend in Paula Badosa. What should we expect out of Sabalenka?
I mean, look, under normal circumstances, you'd say Sabalenka, with the way she's been playing this year and Paula having not played, you'd back her. But I'm just hoping for a couple hours where she can take her mind off of everything and come away from the court. That's kind of what the hope is out there.
Surely everyone in attendance and everyone watching from screens will be rallying around her with some support. But it is a star-studded cast on Friday, so looking forward to the action in Miami.
All right, thanks so much, guys. Yeah, just a horrific situation, any way you look at it. And but playing her best friend, how do you factor that into the whole thing?
I mean, it's one, already tough to play a really, really good friend on the tennis court, and then to play her on top of these unthinkable circumstances. You know that Paula has probably been giving her best support, but, I mean, everybody deals with grief in their own way, so I think for Sabalenka, maybe playing this match, playing in Miami is her way of dealing with it. Maybe tennis is the only thing that's keeping her together, so we hope for the best. We hope that she can get onto the court and just enjoy her time out there, regardless of the result, and you know that we are all supporting her here, through and through.
Yeah, Sabalenka did issue a statement saying, quote, his death, her ex-boyfriend, is an unthinkable tragedy, and while they were no longer together, her heart is broken. Our heart breaks for her as well, Andy, but she's back on the court nonetheless playing Paula Badosa.
Yeah, and we have no idea what's going to happen, and why would we? I mean, you only experience things for a first time. You can't even think about it. But what I do want to do is, like, when stuff goes sideways, tennis comes together as a family. I'm sure she's getting all the support she needs from her fellow players. And I want to give my friend James Blake some credit, right? Supposed to play on Thursday, delayed it till Friday. Like, common sense has won. Said, you know what? You don't have to talk to media. I don't care what the rules are. This is an exceptional circumstance. I'm proud of the tennis world for rallying around. I hope she ends up thinking, walking off the court, regardless of result, thinking, you know what? I made the right decision playing. And if not, I hope she finds some solace in her fellow tennis family.
Yeah, well said. On the men's side, Francis Tiafoe, 7-6 on the year, outside the top 20, Andy. What does he need to do to get that top 10 level back?
Win more, I think. I think he's just struggling a little bit. Finding a cadence, right? It's tough when you play a match, then you're off 10 days, then you play two matches, then you're off 2 weeks. You know, he just needs to kind of break that cycle, right? Get a couple of tournaments where you play three or four matches in a row. Maybe be convinced a little bit more in your playing style. Maybe don't go in and out so much. I like it when he kind of, you know, takes that second serve early on second serves and hits that chip and, you know, plays to the variety instead of just trying to go through guys all the time. And first serve percentage has to come up.
I mean, I agree with that because, I mean, he went definitely the technical part. I'm going to talk about the swagger standpoint. He has to believe that he is it. Like, we see him play time after time again. When he has his shoulders back, when he's carrying himself on the court, when he's having fun, it's when he plays his best tennis. And we haven't really seen that of late. It's kind of been, like, dull, not really talking about Francis and for obvious reasons. But you know that when he's feeling good, he goes out on the court and he has a great time regardless. I know that the fans in Miami really want to see him do well. So if they can rally behind him, that'll help get his confidence up and hopefully get some good results.
Say it with your chest, big foe. Say it with your chest. Stick it out there. By the way, before we go, Andy, is that an onion on your hat? What is that? I'm staring at
that's
that.
That's an onion, Steve. It's an onion. It keeps vampires away.
Okay. Like Andre in the back of your shoulder.
No. Don't you dare. Andre's a saint. Don't you dare, Monica.
Okay, so he's the angel. He's not talking bad on your shoulder.
He's the angel.
All right, we'll see what hat we get tomorrow from Roddick. For Monica, Andy, I'm Steve. Thank you so much for joining us on TC Live. Victoria Azarenka able to fight through in a tough battle. The action from Miami, as always, continues next.